It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hey there, Katie.
Hi, Keith. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's December.
Depending on when you're listening to this, it might be Christmas for
yeah,
you.
Who knows? I mean, but December equals Christmas.
Yeah, or, you know, right after Halloween, it becomes the holiday season.
I'm not one of those people. I'm a post-Thanksgivinger myself.
I think I'm one of those people who is just like, November 1st, put up the tree.
Michael Bublé. Yeah.
Turn on the Bublé, and all I want for Christmas is you. Because, as always, this is not a segue, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. And in addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today, we've got news about Ariana Grande, Travis Scott, Billboard's Women in Music event, and the Grammy Award nominations. Plus...
Hold on to your hats.
We have an interview with Gwen Stefani. The pop rock legend called me up last week to talk all about the deluxe edition of her 2017 holiday album, You Make It Feel Like Christmas. So definitely stick around for our very merry chat.
It's a very merry chat.
Don't mind me.
Holiday puns. We need to think of a holiday word that starts with G, or like a gw sound.
Oh, man. I mean, this is my like favorite thing to do, so back to me.
Yeah, you think about that for a while. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Let's get to some headlines over on billboard.com. And there is no bigger headline in the past week than Ariana Grande's Thank You Next video. She unveiled her highly hyped video on Friday and sent her fans and the internet into a frenzy. With recreations of scenes and moments from the 2000s movies Mean Girls, Legally Blonde, Bring It On, and 13 Going on 30, Grande pulled off her most ambitious video yet. And to fulfill that quest, she called on actors from the original films, including Jonathan Bennett and Stephanie Drummond from Mean Girls, and Jennifer Coolidge, of course, from Legally Blonde.
And Ariana does an incredible impression of Jennifer Coolidge in real life, but she doesn't do it in the video.
It would have been great.
Yeah.
Would have been funny if they had Jennifer play Reese and Ari playing Jennifer. Get back to me on that next one.
Sure.
I'll give you these great ideas.
Ariana, call up Katie. She has some amazing ideas.
She also included some of her famous pals, including Troye Sivan and Colleen Ballinger, who you might know better as Miranda Sings, YouTube celebrity. There's also a well-placed Kris Jenner cameo it's the beginning and the end of the movie.
Yeah.
That's how cinematic it was.
The visual.
So Thank You Next, of course, is Grande's first Billboard Hot 100 number one, and it spent 3 weeks atop the chart before being dethroned by Keith.
Travis Scott's Sicko Mode.
That's correct.
In fact, and that's Travis's own first number one. So a first number one is followed by a first
cute.
Number one.
I like that.
It's almost like they planned it.
Ari did congratulate Travis on Twitter.
That was
it's all very kind of her. Very sweet.
I mean, that's very kind of artists to be like, hey, congratulations on taking the number one away from me.
I like when they... That's like Taylor Swift, I remember, sent like Cardi B flowers when... what was her very first number one? Why am I spacing entirely?
Oh.
Bodak Yellow. Took me a while there.
So Travis Scott's Sicko Mode goes to number one this week, and it's the first number one for Scott. And it comes, thanks in part to interest driven by the new Skrillex-assisted remix of the tune, which dropped during the tracking week for the chart. It's likely, though, that Sicko will slip from number one next week, and Thank You will go back to the top of the chart because of the huge streaming numbers that the video for Thank You Next is generating. Weirdly, though, like, they sat on the Thank You Next video until last Friday. Mm-hmm. So it fell out of the streaming tracking week for the Hot 100. So if she had just released it on Thursday morning, she would have been number one again.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, but then this will just push it to number one, back to number one.
You know? But I'm like, you could have just...
You like consecutive records, don't you?
I just wondered, I'm like, why would you let anyone else not be number one? Like, why would you let anyone else be number one if you have the option to just, like, you know, block somebody?
My assumption is that it wasn't ready by the Friday after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. Mm. And so they didn't want to have a partial week. That would be my thought.
Yeah, and maybe they were very conscious of, like, we want the most impact possible. Or maybe they also thought, like, oh, maybe she would just hold at number one this week, you know, because she was still ahead.
Yeah.
Though, you know, it was close. So anyway, I mean, they both
get a
number one.
It's her first number one, and it's already a multi-week number one, and it's about to probably have its fourth next week. So, yeah. And, you know, this is just one of the many reasons why Ariana Grande is Billboard's Woman of the Year for 2018.
You don't say.
Yeah. our event for the Women in Music, which is our 13th annual event.
13th.
That's pretty amazing.
It's crazy.
It's just days away. It'll be in New York City on Thursday, December 6th. Where Grande, as mentioned, will be honored as our Woman of the Year. Also, we just announced the event will be hosted by Ellie Goulding, who has new music out herself after kind of almost a 2-year break from music, actually. I looked up, the last song that she had put out before this recent one with Diplo and Swae Lee was for the soundtrack of something that I'm going to forget now.
Was it with the 50 Shades movies?
No, it wasn't 50 Shades. Ugh. Literally just looked this up.
Animated movie?
No one cares about this information that I promptly forgot.
I'm sure Ellie does, and Ellie's fans.
Okay, well then, here I am. I'm going to make sure that I get this right, Ellie. I am looking it up. I'm going back.
Well, would you like me to rattle off some of the other honorees of the evening?
I got there.
Okay.
From Bridget Jones's Baby. She had a song on that soundtrack, which was just like, it was probably more than a year and a half ago now.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
So, moving along from that moment that nobody else cared about, maybe, I don't know. We have plenty of other ladies who will be at the event. We have Janelle Monáe receiving the Trailblazer Award, Cyndi Lauper getting the Icon Award, SZA getting the Rule Breaker Award, Kacey Musgraves getting the Innovator Award, and Hayley Kiyoko getting the Rising Star Award.
That's a whole lot of people.
A whole lot of ladies. And there's also celebrity presenters that will be on hand. I'm not sure if we've announced them all yet, so this is me not saying any names.
Are we allowed to announce, like, I know in the past there have been performances in the show. Are we allowed to say that there will be performances?
I don't believe we've said that either, but there will be performances.
Well, yes. Okay.
I think we can say there will be performances.
But you'll have to tune in to find out
who will be
singing.
Let me tell you how you can tune in.
Oh, please. How can I watch this, Katie?
The show will be broadcast live on Twitter from 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. on Thursday, December 6th. So everyone can watch on Twitter.
And Katie, you'll be floating around the event somewhere, won't you?
I will be in the city of New York on Thursday. Hopefully in the building.
So you might, like, you know, see Ariana.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her since the VMAs in 2012. I don't even know when it was. It was right when she released her second album.
Have you actually interviewed her?
Yeah,
before?
I interviewed her in person for that. It was My Everything when that came out.
It was like a red carpet sort of thing?
No, it was a junket. So like a hotel room.
Oh, so actually a little bit longer of an interview.
It was a full 15-minute interview.
Wow.
It was right in the it was like the week after Bang Bang came out. I mean, it was like very like hypey Ariana moment.
Was it a good experience?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we actually talked about Big Brother because her brother Frankie was on the show at the time.
Got it.
And by far, that's what she lit up the most about, was like she just wanted to like talk like a fan of Big Brother.
I think I've talked to her like three times and all in sort of like red carpet backstage scenarios. Mm-hmm. Like once at the Radio Disney Awards when she was like her first
like
single.
Full on Nickelodeon.
Well, yeah,
still?
When her first single came out, okay. Like she was like in
The Way.
Yeah. It was like super.
Featuring Mac Miller.
Super long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I talked to her once, I think, backstage at the AMAs, and we actually talked about Christmas music because the AMAs were in November.
She does love Christmas music.
That was fun. And then a couple years ago, I think she had just released a new album right around the Billboard Awards, and she was the last person to come through on the carpet. And it was one of those weird situations where they're like rushing her up to you and telling you that you have like just two questions.
One question. Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And I was like trying to like spit out my sentence. And it was just like I was tripping over my tongue. And I finally was just like, I finally got out. I'm like, I'm sorry. She's like, it's okay. You got there. And she was like, I mean, she's so like funny. And
that's
it was
hilarious.
So like, even though that was like a really sort of like redonkulous situation, she was just like, it's okay, girl. You, I mean, she didn't say girl, but she was like, it's okay. You got there.
But I wish she had said girl. It's okay, girl.
It's okay, girl. But, you know, I have a feeling like, you know, if we were like, you know, better acquainted, she might call me girl.
Yeah.
Right.
She's, I think you can see that.
She's that kind of lady. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the event. It's always a very special event. And
it really is. And I last year's event, which you were on the red carpet, it was in LA last year, was like the first thing I went to right after coming back from maternity leave. Like I literally had,
you turned into a sobbing mess probably.
I was, because like we were honoring women and the power of women, and I'm fresh off maternity leave. I was like, yeah, ladies.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to being a little bit more, you know,
collected,
put together.
Sure. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, since we spoke so much last week on the episode about Grammy nominations, we wanted to let you know that the nominations for the 2019 Grammy Awards, which were originally planned to be announced on Wednesday, as in tomorrow, if you're listening to this,
December
the day it comes
5th.
Out,
yeah.
December 5th, will now be announced on Friday.
December 7th.
Yes. I saw this headline. I was like, what's happening? It's like such a weird thing to move.
Yeah.
But it turns out the Recording Academy announced Monday that because of former President George H.W. Bush's funeral and public viewing this week, it will push back the release of the nominations. Basically, a big part of the nomination rollout is on CBS This Morning, which of course will be covering,
right,
you know, wall to wall of George Bush's funeral.
And Wednesday has been designated as a national day of mourning, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
by
I think
President
like the post office is going to be closed.
Yeah, the,
like everything,
stock exchange. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, it's when a president passes away. It's
a big deal.
It's a moment. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, well, we're not going to have this award announcement.
Yes.
I'm like, no, we can push that back a day or two.
And then meanwhile, the Golden Globe nominations are going to be announced on Thursday. So they couldn't push it a day to Thursday.
And that Women in Music event I hear is on Thursday.
There
night.
Is a huge Billboard Women in Music event on December 6th. So on Friday is when we'll get them instead. Basically, you can tune into CBS This Morning and Apple Music at 8:30 a.m. for the first round of nominations. And then a full list of nominees will be available at 8:45 a.m. Eastern on Grammy.com or, you know, Billboard.com.
Probably Billboard.com.
Please go to Billboard.com as well. But if you want something on the minute, 8:45, Grammy.com.
Please traffic our site.
Yes. But then look for all the smart analysis. The next, you know... the next few hours after that, we'll be rolling out reactions, analysis,
Repromoting the Pop Shop podcast, where we
hopefully made like brilliant predictions.
Yes, yeah, someone tweeted us. Actually, a few people tweeted us and said that they thought it was alarming that we didn't mention Taylor Swift's reputation.
We actually did bring up Delicate.
I was like, I remember talking about Taylor in some.
We
capacity.
Didn't talk about Reputation for Album of the Year, which
I mean
Taylor's record for Album of the Year.
I mean, it's pretty likely.
It's pretty spotless.
Won't. But
and,
you never know.
But we don't know. And also, to clear that up, too, you know, our conversation was very much like, why don't you talk about one to two things you're personally super invested in? And so one of us didn't bring up Taylor's reputation. That doesn't mean it's not going to get nominated.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's harder with just eight nominees in each category. I mean, we didn't say a lot of people. We had a huge list in front of us. We couldn't get to everyone.
Oh, but the Shawn Mendes fans were very proud of me for bringing
really?
Up Shawn. I heard from them across the world.
I think we're all rooting for Shawn.
I think so, too.
Is
it time for our interview?
I was going to say no.
Why would you say
but
that?
But I think it is time.
Why deny the people? It's now time for our interview with Gwen Stefani. She's our first-time guest here on the Pop Shop.
Someone who we wanted on the show for a very long time.
Exactly. So we're so excited to finally have her here. And our conversation is all about Christmas. Gwen just released a deluxe edition of her 2017 holiday album, You Make It Feel Like Christmas, and it includes 5 new songs in addition to the 12-track original project. Breaking from Christmas album tradition, she co-wrote 8 of her holiday songs.
Hmm.
So we talked about what it's like to write specifically about Christmas and whether she feels kind of like a pressure of living up to these classic Christmas songs. It's like, if you're going to do 8 original songs, they got to measure up to these ones that, you know, some of them have been around for more than a century. So she talked about that, and she talked about basically wanting to be like Mariah Carey and, you know, write that instant classic Christmas song. We also talked about how her new You Make It Feel Like Christmas video with boyfriend Blake Shelton was his Christmas gift to her, how she celebrated the holiday growing up, and how she makes it special for her kids now, and much more. So please enjoy our very Christmassy chat with Gwen Stefani. Thank you, baby. You make-
feel like Christmas.
Hello to Gwen Stefani, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop podcast.
Hey, what are you doing?
Well, you are the guest on our very special Christmas edition of our show to celebrate the release of the deluxe edition of your You Make It Feel Like Christmas album. So I wanted to start by talking about the five new songs on the deluxe edition. Were those songs that were recorded last year during the making of the album, or were there some that that you newly made this year?
Well, no, we definitely did them this year, and I think, I don't really know how it works, but I feel like with Christmas records, if you do good enough, they let you add on to your records. I don't know how many years they let you do that for, but I'm new at all this. You know, this is my first time doing a Christmas record. It was one of the funnest things I've ever done, honestly. It was like, just to be able to write a Christmas song was something that it's like as a writer, you dream of that, because if you can get one that lasts, then you're there forever, and it's just, you know, you're Mariah Carey, like, you get to have that moment with everyone's, like, memories and their families and their holiday, like, it's like you're part of their celebration and the backdrop of their lives. So honestly, songwriting is so magical, but to do Christmas songwriting was another level for me. But this time I got to do two more originals, and then the three covers. And so it was just a little bit easier in some ways, because it was like I already knew kind of the direction and the style and that we were doing the record in, and I already knew, like, okay, well, I definitely want to do a new song that's like a Christmas up-tempo, but like a children's song, you know what I mean, that has like a children's Christmas theme to it, which I didn't have. I did a lot of love songs on the last record, so that was a challenge, but exciting, and that was Cheers for the Elves was the song that we ended up writing. And then we did the song called Secret Santa that was kind of, wasn't really my idea, was Justin, he's somebody that I've been writing with for years, and I didn't have any ideas, so he was like, oh, what about a Secret Santa, like, and that was cute because we kind of did, it sort of reminds me of like a Santa Baby Lane, like kind of like in the sense of like a little sexy song, like a love song. But and then the covers were just, again, like trying to find more up-tempo Christmas songs, because I know on my record I already have kind of the mellow, you know, Silent Night, and I had the song called When I Was a Little Girl, and another song called Christmas Eve. So I just wanted to make sure that it had that, you know, upper tempo. So basically that's how it came about.
Like you were saying, you co-wrote two of the new songs on the deluxe edition, and of course six of the songs on the original project too. It seems like a lot of Christmas albums are filled with covers, so it's cool to have this much new original holiday material. How do you approach writing a Christmas song? Does it feel like you have to measure it up against these, like, Christmas standards that have been around for, you know, decades or even like a century in some cases?
I that's a really good question. I think it's one of those things nobody really thinks about who wrote the songs. Like, you're like, they were just always part of your life. Like, who wrote Jingle Bells? Like, who wrote Silent Night? Like, you know, 12 Days of Christmas, like all these songs that are just there your whole life, and you think someone had to think that up, and it's quite magical, because songwriting without having a theme, you know, of Christmas is magic anyways, because it's just like you have nothing and then all of a sudden you have a song, and it's, especially if it really does reflect your life, it's just so, like, it just takes a moment in time and it just, like, keeps it there forever, and people can relate to it, and then it heals you, and there's just so much that goes on with songwriting for me. So to be able to do Christmas music and to write within a theme, like, every song was different. Like, for me, there was one song called Christmas Eve that I had written last year, and I'd been going through so much in my life, and I'd written this record called This Is What the Truth Feels Like, and I was out on a run at Blake's Ranch, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to get my physical exercise, and I'm going to, like, pray the entire time, and I'm going to be, like, in this moment and just get my spiritual exercise on, too. And his ranch is so gorgeous in Oklahoma. There's, like, animals run, like, wild animals, like, herds. It's beautiful. Anyways, I was, like, praying, and I thought to myself, if I wrote a Christmas song, what could it be? You know, just like you're asking me, like, what? How do you do it? You know, and just came to me, this whole song, like, literally the melody, the lyrics and everything was right there, and I'm like singing it out loud, running back to the lodge trying to get my phone so I don't forget it, and just like sang it into my phone, and then like asked everybody around me if I was copying something else, because it sounded so familiar. I was like, this sounds like something I'd heard my whole life. And anyways, it was just one of those Christmas miracles, and brought it back and finished the song, and crazier thing happened. Then Blake heard it and liked it so much that he ended up recording his version of that song for his Christmas record re-release last year or so. And no one's ever recorded one of my songs, so that was like, especially like my best friend who I respect so much as a musician. So that was just one example of writing a Christmas song for me, which was pretty a good example. But all the other ones come in just different ways, you know. They just come like going in the room and being inspired and thinking about like what the other songs say, you know, like what is it about Santa Claus is coming to town? Like, what is, you know, it's just fun. I don't know. I feel like I could have never done it until now. Like, I feel like I needed all the writing experience that I've had to get to this point.
Well, and I feel like, you know, you also kind of realize in your album that you don't need to have every single song have like all this really serious Christmas imagery in it. Some songs just feel like Christmas, and your song When I Was a Little Girl kind of just, it brings you back to childhood, and there's like a reference to Santa, but it could be, you know, set in any time of year. It just feels like a good, you know, Christmas time song.
That is a real, you're very smart. I agree with you, because in the sense that like when I wrote that song, I had this idea. I can remember, because a lot of the songs are really just about love, and I can remember laying in my bed and being in my bedroom when I was little and dreaming about who I was going to marry and who was going to love me, who was I going to love. You know, I have these incredible parents that were so loving my whole life and just really wanted that, you know, and you think about that when you're little and you're a little girl. So I wanted to write a song that kind of like was just expressing those feelings, you know what I'm saying? So when we started writing that song, I think we all thought, maybe this isn't a Christmas song, maybe this is just a song and we should leave it at that. And then I don't know, Justin, I think, was the one that kind of pushed us to go, no, I think it has that nostalgic feeling to it, I think we can make this a Christmas song. And so just adding in a few lines here and there, and then it ended up being like the theme, or like the kind of thread throughout the Christmas special that I did last year, of like kind of revisiting my old self and, you know, how Christmas is such a miracle. And like I said earlier, like just being part of Christmas is, through music, is quite magical, because you're really creating like memories in people's lives. And growing up, I listened to this record that my parents used to play called Light of the Stable, which was Emmylou Harris's Christmas record. And it was mostly original songs, if I think about it. It's hard to know now because I just know the record as a record, but it's just when I hear that, it's like it brings all those memories back, and they're such good memories of my childhood and Christmas time. And so, I don't know, I never really thought I would do a Christmas record, in the sense that it's when, like, how do you do it? When do you have time? And you're always trying to make your own regular records. I am, so this was just the perfect year to do it last year, and to be able to, like, I can't believe it's already 1 year later and I'm doing more. Like, it went so fast, but it's really, really up my alley. It's really perfect. I didn't know it was going to be so fun to be able to promote the record. Like, last year, it just brought so much joy. I got to go to London and be on the radio over there and just around the world, just to be able to, like, I don't know, have a theme like Christmas this far into my career, and people just, it brings so much joy out of people.
Yeah, it's universal,
actually. It
stopped
me.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's universal, too, just like that.
Yeah,
you know.
It's pretty awesome.
I was also, you know, you mentioned listening to Emmylou Harris, and I was wondering kind of what Christmas was like for you growing up. You know, we know that you're from SoCal, so maybe a white Christmas was not always something that you had, but what was Christmas morning like in the Stefani house?
Well, there was four kids, so my parents were happily married, and they made a big deal about it, and it was a big day. It was like, wake up at 5 a.m., sit in the hallway with my brothers and sisters, just like trying to wait for my parents to wake up, and like trying to peek out and see, but you couldn't ever see where the tree was and the presents were, because Santa would have come and like wrapped the doorway with like wrapping paper.
Oh,
and
wow.
You know, I know, that was like our tradition. Like, they'd be like, on the count of three, you'd bust through the paper.
Oh my God, that's so fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And we did everything from, you know, we did like the spiritual side of Christmas, where we would go to church and my mom would take us to the fabric store and we would pick out patterns, and she would make us a Christmas dress, and we would go to church, and then we would go to one great-grandma, and then we would go to grandma, and then we would go to the other grandma, and then we would go then we'd go back home and take a nap. And it was like, why do we have to take a nap? Because we'd go back and have the turkey at my grandma's. And it was just a long, I remember as a child it being like an epic, like long day. And my parents were really strict about, we have to go to this grandma and that grandma, and each time you would go, you would get more presents and more chocolate, more stockings. I was very blessed.
Well, and what's it like as a mom now, kind of, you know, either passing those traditions on to your kids or, you know, creating new traditions with them?
Yeah, I think it's fun to be able to create new traditions. And it's interesting how, like, my kids have such an unbelievably different life than I did growing up. And I feel like it's, every year is just a ticking clock where you're like trying to hold on and make it magical, because it just goes by so quickly. And now I have like a 12-year-old who doesn't really like have a good list. There's no more toys to buy. Like, it's just like tech stuff, or like wants like Gucci or things that are just impossible, you know? You're like, no, you're not getting the new whatever 12 phone or whatever's coming out next. Anyways, it's like, it's really hard to let go of like the fun, like baby years where Christmas is just like, it's so magical. I still have a 4-year-old, so he's going to have fun this year. And we're just going to do Christmas decorating tonight, actually. We went on the way home from school and picked out a tree, and it's getting delivered, and we're going to decorate. And so it's just fun. It's just memories, you know, creating memories.
And you mentioned Emmylou Harris. Are there any other Christmas songs or albums that are really, you know, special to you, or ones that you play with your family?
I think I just really remember watching like a lot of Christmas specials when I was younger. Like, you know, when like it would be like the Peanuts Christmas is coming on, and all the songs from like the Peanuts Christmas, or I'm trying to think of different ones, but you know, one of the huge records that we used to listen to would be The Chipmunks' Christmas.
Do you remember? Oh, yeah, that of course.
With Alvin and the Chipmunks, that was a big one. And a lot of those were original songs as well. You don't even think about it because it's a cartoon, but someone had to write those.
Yeah.
So good, too. we would just have fun, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a fun time of year, and I know that it can be super stressful too. Like, I feel it as well. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't gotten anything for Blake. Like, oh no, what am I gonna get him? He has everything. But I know he gave me something, my present already, which was to do a video for the You Make It Feel Like Christmas song, which was such a gift because he hates doing videos, and he's like, literally for his own videos, he'll be like, you got 2 hours and I'm out of here. Like, he just literally, it's not his thing. So for him to be able to put the time in for a whole day and do that video with me was just a dream. So I feel real excited about how it turned out, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it must be fun this time around too, having a year behind you. Are you hearing from your fans about how they incorporated your album last year into their Christmas?
I'm just starting to see everybody get excited again, because I had done the Disney performance last couple weeks ago, and people have been posting, and then once they start getting a taste of it, they're like, oh yeah, last year, like, and then they start reposting stuff from last year, and the record obviously is out already too. So I think for me, the big one this year that was exciting was the release of the video. That was like unexpected, because the song came out last year, and so the fact that that my record label was like, hey, we want you to do a video, which is just, it's rare these days, you know, there's no budgets for anything, so it's like, oh really, like, you're gonna let us do that? Like, that's so exciting. And one of my best friends, Sophie Muller, who's a video director, she's done like tons of my videos. She did Underneath It All and Don't Speak, and I could go on and on. She's a legend, and probably my best friend as well. She's English, and she flew herself out on her air miles to come do the video for us for free. And so it was just being able to work with her, she's like my best friend, and be with Blake, and to come up with an idea that we could actually, like, do, you know. And it was just really a fun project.
It really was. It was a Christmas present from Blake and Sophie. That's fun.
It's true. It's so true.
Well, amazing. I don't want to keep you much longer, but I am wondering, like I said earlier, you're from SoCal. Have you ever had a white Christmas before?
Let me think about that.
With all your travels?
I mean, basically, we... I've never had a white Christmas because I'm trying to think. I mean, I've been in England when it's kind of cold, but not necessarily snowing, like snowing. But this year we're going to go to, I think in the new year at some point, we're going to go to Gatlinburg and go to Dollywood, and we're hoping there'll be some snow out there. But yeah, we just, you know, growing up in California, it's fun because you can go up to Big Bear. That's where we used to go when we were kids, and we would go to Santa's Village, which is super fun. We went there like a couple years ago, and they've redone it. It's like really beautiful. They did such a good job. I highly recommend going up there.
You can go visit the snow and then come back to paradise.
Yes, but I love the snow, and that's why we're going to... We always try to get to the snow somewhere, but, yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, all the times that I've ever been in the snow is just by traveling, like, you know, being in New York, being lucky enough to go to places that it snows.
Well, thank you so much, Gwen. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas with your whole family, and we really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Let's play Secret Santa through the night. Let's play Secret Santa. You're the only one that I'll invite. You don't even have to worry. Thank you so much to Gwen for taking the time to talk Christmas with me. And now I feel like I need to, you know, step my game up with baby Cal, because her parents, like, did some epic stuff for their Christmas traditions, as you just heard, like, wrapping. They did gift wrap, where they would wrap over the door, like, the entryway into the living room, so the kids would have to break through, like, Kool-Aid Man style, into the living room to see what Santa left them.
Wow.
I mean,
there's no pressure, Gwen.
Right. Well, I think she felt the pressure to follow up her own parents.
It's like, just never tell your kids that ever happened to you.
Hopefully your kids aren't Pop Shop listeners.
They won't know what you experienced when you were a child, Gwen. Yeah. So, thanks, Gwen. And now, it's time for the chart stat of the week. I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore. And I know too much to go back and pretend, 'cause I've heard it all before. It's fitting that we're hosting our annual Women in Music event this week, as this week, back in 1972, Helen Reddy's anthem, I Am Woman, topped the Billboard Hot 100. The track climbed to the top of the list, dated December 9th, 1972. It was the first of three number ones for Reddy, who also topped the tally with Delta Dawn and Angie Baby. I Am Woman was originally recorded for Reddy's 1971 debut album, but it wasn't released as a single until the track was re-recorded with a new verse as the theme to the 1972 women's liberation comedy movie Stand Up and Be Counted. While the movie tanked and the song...
I've never heard of that.
There's a reason why you haven't heard of it. The movie tanked. And the song actually initially just peaked at number 97 on the Hot 100. But Reddy wasn't done. She continued to promote the song through TV appearances and performances, soon turning the track into a viral hit before viral hits were even a thing. As viewers watching her perform this song started calling radio stations and demanding to hear the track. And in turn... The track then re-entered the Hot 100 and hit number one, and it became this anthemic, iconic recording for her, and I think for the women's, like, liberation.
For ladies everywhere.
Ladies, you know, I mean, and then it led to a memorable rendition in Sex in the City 2, I believe. That's right?
That's what it all led to.
Yeah, it all led to.
The worst Sex in the City movie.
There's only two.
There's two.
So there you have it. This week in 1972, I Am Woman roared at number one on the Hot 100. So proud of that. Oh, yes.
Perfect women in music chart stat.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that
for
the younger ladies in the audience.
For the younger ladies, all the younger ladies, or all the ladies, no matter what age you are, you are a woman, and we hear you roar. Really, you should really watch the Women in Music event. I'm telling you,
It is always awesome. Actually, if you can go back and find last year's Camila Cabello performance of Havana.
Like, it's acoustic, and it's basically just her almost by
it's
herself.
It's like her performing in, like, a Cuban club that you happen to wander into.
So
like,
good.
It's so good.
And not only that, but, like, the speeches that mm-hmm. the ladies make when they accept their award.
And the presentations, too, are always...
And even the red carpet, like, the moments where, you know, like, it's just... The whole thing, you just feel like it's a great inspiring, empowering, uplifting, moving event from top to bottom. And we're not saying that just because we work here.
Correct.
So you should totally watch it.
We're saying it because we work here
and
because it's good.
Because it's good, yeah. Okay, so what song should we go out on? Independent Women? Sisters are doing it for themselves.
Lady theme. I'm so glad Gwen was the guest on our, like, on
Just
our
a Girl.
Obviously, duh, done.
See you guys next time.
Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.